Hello, innovators. I'm Todd Wyant, and welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast, presented by Applied Software Gray Tech Group. You're invited to join our conversation to model the future of construction innovation and the digital transformation adventure of this great industry. We've recorded this conversation live from the Advancing Prefabrication Show in Denver, Colorado. In this conversation, I sat down with Steve Houston of Lift Build to discuss the latest in prefab trends and much more. Hope you enjoy the conversation. All right, we are here at Advancing Prefab and super excited to be joined by Steve Houston. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So would love to kind of hear your journey into prefab and what brings you to Advancing Prefab.
Okay. Well, I'm part of a company called Lift Build, and our approach to building high-rise buildings is to assemble them on a factory floor at the base of the building, on what we call a factory floor or assembly pad. And so in order to facilitate that, you know, we have a very strict manufacturing approach that we use in order to assemble the building. And that includes bringing in sub-assemblies that are pre-manufactured and, you know, easy to put on at ground level and, you know, help us complete that floor plate or roof at ground level before we lift it up into final position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How have you seen the evolution of the industry kind of changing over the last few years?
Well, I think it's getting closer to a more practical application of prefabrication. I know in the beginning it was all the rage. Everybody was trying to do it, and you know, some situations it's good. Other situations, you know, you might end up be better served just doing a more conventional approach and supplementing that with other types of prefabrication. So it is sort of a balance that I'm seeing anyways. So it's my colleague. So she's taking pictures. So
I like it. Yeah. how should people go about thinking through that conversation and figuring out which one is going to work best for them?
Well, first off, it has to happen early. And you've got to have parties that are inclined to do those sorts of explorations and use of a prefabricated system. If it happens early, then and happens across the stakeholders, I'm talking from the owner all the way down to even the trade that's installing whatever prefab element, if that conversation can be held, then you can start mapping out a way forward and really figure out what's the best application for it. Where should we do it? When should we do it? And that also informs the pre-construction side of the equation, where you're trying to do cost estimates and schedules and all that sort of stuff. So it's an early conversation with all the stakeholders, and that's nothing new. But if you really want to get to what I like to call a harmonized application of prefab, where in our case, we do vertical manufacturing on that factory floor, and we want to bring in prefab, you want to do it in a way that doesn't disrupt the rest of the manufacturing process. So you got to have a harmonized solution, you know, for not just the technology, but the folks that are installing it, the processes of managing that whole assembly, and then finally getting it to its final product. You know, there's a lot of harmonization, I like to say, that has to happen to get everything oriented on the straight path for that.
Yeah. You know? So what are some of those challenges, or maybe some of the common pitfalls to creating that harmony that people fall into?
Well, I think not having that conversation early. You know, if you're not all united or not all on a common level set field, then you end up in situations where you might have a an expectation that a prefabricated element is going to work when it doesn't, you know, or it causes more problems than it should. I think the other piece to that, and it goes back to who's putting the assemblies together, is, you know, are they comfortable putting them together? Are they comfortable, or do they have the knowledge to put them together? I've been in situations where, you know, it was just easier for the general contractor to do something that they knew how to do, mm-hmm. versus trying to learn a whole nother approach to putting an element into a building. Case in mind is stairs. You know, we were always oriented on prefabricated metal stairs that, you know, you pour the concrete pans on them once they're in place. But we had a contractor that just couldn't figure that out. And, you know, first off, had we had an earlier conversation, we would have known that. Mm-hmm. But on the second go around, we said, okay, we'll go back to cast in place concrete stairs, and they were just happy and everything worked smoothly. So there was an example where, you know, the right people, you know, weren't talking, I guess, and you ended up with a conflict. You know?
Yeah.
So
how have you handled the education piece of, it's human nature. We're going to revert back to what we know and what we feel mm-hmm. comfortable with. How do you deal with the education of, yes, but here's a better way to do it, and let's explore this and see if it's a viability?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's one, it's got to be collaborative, lots of communication, and to get that innovative approach. You know, if you're not talking and collaborating, you'll end up in a place where you don't want to be. Mm-hmm. But I think the inertia that you have to overcome is exactly what you said. I've always done it this way. It works for me. All of my project management, all my, you know, books work against, you know, work for this particular aspect of construction, and I'm used to it, so I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you build your team, it's almost like you've got to screen for that and figure out, you know, is the team member open enough to at least learn and explore? And if not, well, then maybe you need another team member. I don't know.
Yeah.
We've always kind of shifted our priorities, you know, when we went encountered something like that. So, but I think if you have a vibrant, a exciting approach to building a building, you tend to attract the right people anyways. You know, mm-hmm. they end up coming to you. They self-select.
Yeah.
You know, so it's getting easier. I'll say that much. The inertia's starting to fade away. You know, trying to get over that hump.
Interesting. Yeah. Have you seen the mindset shift of being willing to be open to new things? Has that ramped up over the last few years? Or
I think so. I think a lot of folks are looking for solutions that are more effective, the higher quality, and you know, cost less, and you know, helps on schedule. That's always been the case, but when it gets really demanding in terms of like the cost of money, or you know, will a project pencil, mm-hmm. If there's some motivation behind going out and really thinking outside the box and bringing in maybe a new way to include prefabrication. Certainly on our side, we've just gone to a vertical manufacturing approach. We don't even talk construction. We don't even say that word. You know, it's assembling a building on an assembly pad, which is our factory floor. Mm-hmm. And once you establish that environment in that context, we tend to see, you know, trade partners come to us with even better ideas on how to enhance what we're doing with prefabricated sub-assemblies, is what we call them, that we install into the building. you know.
What kind of mindset shift was needed to kind of go from constructing a building to manufacturing?
It's all about efficiency. The construction industry is probably one of the most inefficient industrial operations around. I mean, we really haven't done anything different for the last 3,000 years. Mm-hmm. You know, we always build from the bottom up, and you know, there's a set order in the way all the trades work through a building. When we introduced our approach, we're not really changing anything that the trades are doing. We're changing the sequence in which they're doing it, mm-hmm. and we start seeing opportunities open up across the trades for being more efficient with manpower. Really looking at a prefabricated subassembly that will help them even better, you know, because it's all done at the ground. It's easy to bring it in, you know. So when, like for instance, on a mechanical subcontractor, you know, it's all about volume for them. You know, do a prefabricated run of duct. It's just air that mm-hmm. they're transporting around. But if you incorporate that into a system like ours, where we're actually prefabbing pretty much right on site, at the same time we're assembling the rest of the floor plate, it makes sense. And now they can move material the way that they're used to moving it, but then they can put it together in assemblies that go in quite quickly. And you know, it's sort of a happy medium. Mm-hmm. And again, it's that harmonization piece, you know, harmonizing the logistics aspects of getting a floor plate assembled versus, you know, being efficient in time and motion and you know, mm-hmm. having all the right pieces come at the right time together, you know. So, very interesting. And again, we come at it a little bit different approach, you know. We're excited about prefab because the way we build our floor plates at ground level are extremely conducive to pods, mm-hmm. for instance, bathroom pods or kitchen assemblies that yeah. you can just lift up and set right in the right place, never have to move them. It's not like you're taking a bathroom pod, lifting it up 16 stories and running it, you know, under mechanical, around columns and all that sort of right. stuff. We don't have that. We can just drop a major subassembly like a bathroom pod exactly where it needs to go, have it checked out on the ground and ready to go. Mm-hmm. So that sort of, that in our mind, that shifted us to looking more at these larger unitized assemblies that come to the building.
Yeah, you know? Interesting. So one of the things that has popped up when we talk about the convergence of manufacturing and construction is mm-hmm. manufacturing, it's a controlled environment. Mm-hmm. It's easy to create the right flow, the right operations, because mm-hmm. you're working on the same thing. You're doing, you know, yeah. tons of things all at the same time. The scalability there is easier. You bring it into the construction world and where there's more complexities and everything's a little bit different. Manufacturing principles can't work in the same way. You guys have debunked that.
Well, yeah. I mean, every single floor plate and roof is it's like a chassis on a car that's moving through an auto assembly plant, mm-hmm. you know. And we, on our last building, we had 15 superstructure assemblies that we built exactly the same way in exactly the same place. And we were able to have a third party come in and assess how long it took to bolt up this one connection, how much time was spent moving across the assembly pad mm-hmm. that was non-value added time. And certainly that's where the prefab piece comes in on the site. It's already built, there's a product, it moves a limited amount and it's installed. So greater than 80% of your effort is oriented towards producing a product, you know. Mm-hmm. So when we developed this process and refined it, I mean, that's always been top of mind, is repetition, so we can always improve, and eliminating variability. And if everything's the same as you go down through the building, as you're building it, then you know, you've accomplished that, and now you have an opportunity to do continuous improvement in a manner that's very much like they do with manufacturing operations.
The industry is struggling with a communication problem and a lack of interoperability. This is causing 25% of data being recreated and almost $300 billion loss due to bad communication. Great Tech Group believes that is a problem. So they created Data Connect, an easy-to-use, no-code platform that connects critical ERP systems with cost management to form a single source of truth to empower better communication, decision-making, and project efficiency, delivering the ultimate business outcome of being on time and on budget. Visit asti.com/dataconnect to start saving time and money.
Yeah, I was going to ask, well, what kind of feedback loops do you have for the continuous improvement processes?
Well, first you got to gather the data. And so many of our components either are sensored or monitored as they're being installed. Mm-hmm. And it's at ground level. So it's, again, it's very easy for a foreman or a supervisor or anybody concerned with quality could look at that and say, that's done correctly. Mm-hmm. The difference is, if we're building the 16th floor on the ground, you can do that. If you're doing it 16 stories up, you're not always quite sure that's happening the right way, you know, mm-hmm. because it's so far away and there's a lot of travel time to get to that point. The other piece of this is doing it on the ground requires fewer people to supervise. It's easier to see what's happening, you know, and you can move across that assembly pad very easily, and it's very, very well laid out using the, you know, the, we call it 6S, but it's 5S with the extra S for us is safety, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of lean manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it provides a high quality environment for the folks that are assembling the building, and we protect the quality of the material because we're, you know, installing it in a manner that we can weather protect it, and once it's the floor plate's locked in, it's sealed. It's just like it's in its permanent condition, and we can control the environment, mm-hmm. you know, air or humidity or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you get into that environment, that vertical manufacturing environment, where you can, you know, eliminate waste and look at quality at the same time and have a fun, and it really is fun. Everybody that worked on the building just enjoyed working on it because, one, it was different, but then, two, it was just a comfortable working space, nice and clean and everything. The ideas just start flowing and popping up and saying, how come we're doing this plumbing run in two pieces? Why can't we do it in a larger run and, you know, model it and have it produce so that when it arrives on site, it, instead of taking, you know, 10 minutes to install, it takes 5 minutes to install. You know, it just, yeah. It's the environment that keys and triggers folks to be proactive and participating in the whole enterprise.
Yeah. You know? So are you having regular meetings and conversations to get these ideas flowing, or people submitting them?
I mean, and again, it's across all the stakeholders. Mm-hmm. You start early, you explain to them how we do vertical manufacturing, and I'm even talking to, you know, the city fire marshal, the building inspector, the engineer, they're in that room, the occupational safety folks are in that room, hearing how and learning how we put a building together, all the trade partners are there in that room, mm-hmm. same time. And when it clicks that this is a manufacturing operation, not a construction operation, and the efficiencies that are there and the safety that's inherent to it, everybody joins in. And before you know it, you know, the city engineer is suggesting something that was really, it's a great idea. Let's try to do that on this project. It inspires folks to you know, collaborate.
Yeah, that's
talk
awesome.
About it, yeah.
What kind of education have you seen that's needed to get that kind of light bulb moment to click on for people?
Well, first, it's great to have a proof of concept like we've got. So mm-hmm. now we can show this is how it works. These are the metrics. These are the benefits of it. And, mm-hmm. you know, certainly that was a big hurdle early on for us because, you know, the question is, where have you done this before, you know? And it's kind of hard to say, well, we haven't done one yet. We know how to do it, you know, and we're getting great feedback on what we think we're going to do, but now we've done it, and it verifies what we thought, that, you yeah. know, it's a very efficient approach to assembling a building. That right there goes, you know, thousands of miles beyond where we were, you know, because now you've done it, and people respect that, and they understand it, and they want to participate in the next one now.
Yeah.
So I think it's the system itself is so different that people perk up on it, and they want to look at it, and they want to understand and figure it out. You know, mm-hmm. that's the nature of the system. So it, once we had the proof of concept completed, and it's beautiful building, and we're able to show those metrics and the stories about how it came together, and the buy-in comes in, you know, right away.
Yeah.
Right away.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. The yeah. real life examples go a long way.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and we knew that. We knew we were going to have a challenge, you know, trying to get over that hurdle. And we did an awful lot of work early on in terms of refining the technology, and I mean, we've got 15 patents on the building, you know, system itself. Mm-hmm. And we have a whole program where we design, test, and sense building elements. We actually do self or destructive testing on things that we've designed for the building to see if they'll hold up.
Yeah.
So when you have all that information, that data, that proof, it was a little easier to get this proof of concept going. Certainly didn't hurt that our parent company, or, you know, our bigger company, Barton Mallow, was all in, because it was an investment for them, you yeah. know, to achieve efficiencies that we were seeing. That helped, certainly. You have to acknowledge that. But, you know, once you have that data that says, yes, this thing can work, then, you know, the bar comes down quite a bit. And now that we've got one built, you know, it's like walking on a sidewalk now. You don't have to jump over anything.
Yeah,
you know,
very nice.
So.
Makes it a lot easier, a lot smoother conversations.
Yes, yes.
So we're at Advancing Prefab. Any main takeaways so far from the show?
I go back to early engagement. You know, you can't overstress that, because there's a lot of folks that want to do it, and if they're not in on the conversation early, and they come in late, those ideas aren't there, and you know there's just this momentum in a project where it's really hard to go back and try to inject prefabrication into whatever, you know, type of building you're trying to do. And then I guess the other thing is, you know, just looking at from a pragmatic sense what works, what is probably easier to work for you, because if it's easier, you do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly, you know, you set the conditions so that the team can communicate and collaborate and get to a point where there's a way forward with a prefabrication plan mm-hmm. for your construction.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. Looking out over the next decade of the industry, where do you think the industry is going?
I think certainly it's towards I call it a soup to nuts design to operate delivery model that is focused on efficiencies that are way beyond what you see in traditional construction, and that really is a manufacturing approach to putting structures together. Mm-hmm. Certainly, there are some structures where you know it just doesn't work, right? But if you're looking at a building that, you know, could be a hospital, could be a residential building, could be a hotel, they're basically the same concept, you know. If you can take that and do it like we've done, is create a manufacturing approach to it, I think you'll find those efficiencies. You can't have someone who's going to do construction on a manufacturing job. So in other words, a good example is you have a project engineer, okay? They're used to doing simple construction, or regular construction, I mean simple. And then you have a manufacturing approach. If that individual is not bought into manufacturing, you'll see ripple effects. And it's unintended. They're just trying to be a good construction project manager, project engineer. So when there's downtime, they go do something. We got to do something. We got to keep the folks moving and producing something, you know. And what ultimately happens is, in that construction mindset, it puts up roadblocks to the manufacturing approach, you know. All of a sudden, you're doing your manufacturing operation, and bang, where did this, you know, 8-foot masonry wall come from, you know? Well, we had time to do it, so we went ahead and did it, you know. And it's like, well, that we got to knock that down if we want to keep, you know, our manufacturing operation working. So you really have to have that manufacturing mindset.
Yeah, interesting. So as we start to wrap up the conversation, a couple rapid-fire questions for you. First, what does the phrase modeling the future, what does that look like to you?
I think really it is... it goes beyond this notion, or this virtual twin, if you will. It really has to look at design from an assembly standpoint, and designing in those efficiencies so you can assemble more efficiently. And so, into the future, I see, particularly like an AI system that takes the best methods, the best approach to design for certain elements of the building, and you know, is thoughtfully, you know, applied within a modeling software, and then, you know, you have more and more opportunities to be efficient in that design for assembly, if you will. So I see that clearly happening here in the almost near future. But then tying all of that modeling into the actual performance of the building, and how do you get that information out of the building? You know, for instance, we put sensors in buildings so that even while we're building it, we know what's happening to the building as we're building it.
Yeah.
You know? And once that floor plate is assembled and up in place and in permanent condition, those sensors are still there. They're still working.
Yeah.
They can tell the owner, hey, you know, we just had a wind event on the north side of the building. We need to go check out this part of the facade. You know, that sort of...
Yeah, very cool.
And when that's integrated into this modeling effort, I think you'll have a whole, a holistic model that will take you soup to nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating. What does innovation mean to you?
Innovation is it's a process, and again, it's you know, having the right people in the right in the room at the same time, collaborating and communicating as freely as possible, you know, and the more people you can get in the room. I know a lot of times we like to neck down the decisions making down to a very small group, but most of the time it's better to have in a like an open workshop or a charrette to have as many people in there as you can, get all those great ideas, and once you've got that collaboration going and the communication, the innovation just it drops out and it pops up and says that's what we need to do and we'll do it that way. So it's teaming, you know, and that's the funnest part about being in this industry is you're teaming to produce something, and you know, that's innovation to me. And
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, how do people find out more information about Lift Build or connect with you?
Well, we have a website. It's liftbuild.com. And we're also on Facebook. You know, I'm on both of those platforms. Very easy to find me. Mm-hmm. So I just say visit the website.
Yeah. Nice. Simple enough.
Yeah.
Last question for you. If I could give you all construction power, you could snap your fingers and innovate one thing, what would you pick to innovate?
I would very strongly look at how we can apply some level of robotics into this assembly process. We've been looking at that a lot from our perspective, and that would, if we start integrating robotics into our assembly, I think, you know, we'll make up for a lot of challenges we have in the labor force and quality and the ability to, you know, to really produce a good product. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing bad about an iron worker, you know, cranking on a bolt to make up a connection, but, you know, at the same time, you know, why not have him or her, you know, running the robotics so that we can get 100 connections done pretty much at the same time,
So. Very nice. Well, Steve, thanks so much for taking the time and joining the show.
Invite. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it. Yeah.
And now it's time for my Todd takes from this episode. First take: early collaboration in prefabrication is crucial for project success. Engaging all stakeholders from the start ensures efficient integration of ideas. Take two: construction projects benefit from a mix of traditional and prefabricated methods. Tailoring the approach to specific project needs is key. And final take: the construction industry must adapt to new technologies and methods like robotics and AI. This evolution requires a shift in education and mindset to improve efficiency and innovation. Bridging the Gap is hosted, directed, and produced by Todd Wyant. Edited and produced by Eric Daniel. Bridging the Gap is an Applied Software Great Tech Group production. Copyright Applied Software Great Tech Group 2024.